So I'm going to be sharing with you my work and my dissertation, improving the quality of infant feeding training for perinatal case managers serving high-risk Black women and children. I have no relationships to disclose. So just to briefly, I'm going to go over the background and significance very briefly, and then the context and framework that I used to develop the infant feeding strategy, my findings, and then the lessons learned. So as all of you, I'm assuming, that are here, breastfeeding advocates, we know that there are proven benefits of breastfeeding across the lifespan for both the mother and her child. And from a life course perspective, breastfeeding is simultaneously a risk reduction and a health promotion strategy. And this table summarizes the health outcomes that we know are associated with both maternal and child health across the lifespan. And these are all scientifically rigorous studies. However, significant differences in breastfeeding rates persist among Black infants compared to other groups, looking at initiation and exclusive breastfeeding at both 3 months and 6 months. So we know as a population, Black women and children have lower rates of breastfeeding and higher rates of particular health outcomes which breastfeeding has been associated with, such as asthma, diabetes, prematurity, low birth weight, and obesity. So addressing these disparities in breastfeeding rates is just one strategy to reduce disparities in health outcomes that disproportionately affect Black women and children. And the CDC recommends a comprehensive clinical and social supports be provided across the continuum, from the prenatal through the postpartum period. And we know that there are strategies that have been found effective in increasing the initiation and duration of breastfeeding, like the baby-friendly hospital initiative, as well as peer counselors. However, despite these initiatives, persistent disparities in breastfeeding continue to exist. So this calls for an innovative strategy to address breastfeeding disparities. Research also tells us that the intention to breastfeed prior to delivery increases the likelihood of successful breastfeeding. We also know that skin-to-skin contact within 1 hour increases the duration of exclusive breastfeeding, and initiating within 24 to 48 hours means that a mother is less likely to introduce supplements, and that continued breastfeeding at 2 weeks postpartum helps to build confidence and self-efficacy. So in total, we know that intention to breastfeed combined with early opportunities to begin breastfeeding in a supportive environment builds confidence and increases the likelihood of continuing breastfeeding success. So then this raises the question, what does a supportive environment for Black women and children look like? We know that if it's community-based and offered in the home, that there's more likely an increased success. If the services are offered across a continuum and delivered by community members and peers who reflect the culture and language, that it is more likely to succeed. And that leads us to perinatal case management programs. So the question I had was, how can we improve perinatal case management programs so that they can better promote and support breastfeeding? Through my research, I found no existing strategy that has been identified to help build case manager capacity specifically around this among those that serve minority populations facing multiple risk factors, or a standardized tool to support case managers to do this work. So my question was, what effect can an infant feeding strategy have on enhancing perinatal case manager capacity to effectively support women to successfully initiate early and exclusive breastfeeding using quality improvement? So I developed and tested an infant feeding strategy within the Healthy Start initiative. And so just to focus on that, Healthy Start uses case management and home visiting services, and they target the highest risk populations. I work specifically with the Boston Healthy Start Initiative, and in Boston there are actually 13 sites that are funded with 2 full-time case managers each, and they target in Boston self-identified Black pregnant or postpartum women, infants and children under the age of 2 years, so the duration of services can extend up to 2.9 years, which is a great opportunity to really engage a family for a long period of time. And among many services that these case managers provide, breastfeeding support is just one of them. And to give you an idea of the maternal characteristics of the program that they serve, 100% identify themselves as Black or African American, 34% also identify themselves as Latina or Hispanic. They represent over 30 different countries that are receiving services in Boston. And the age range of the mothers are between 15 to 45. And as you can see, the majority of them are single, have less than a high school education, are not in the labor force, and are living well below the federal poverty line. There are a number of barriers that mothers within Healthy Start in Boston have identified as inhibiting their ability to breastfeed, difficulty initiating sustaining behavior. So we know that the majority of the women that are receiving services through Healthy Start in Boston indicated they wanted to breastfeed, and that's really the population we wanted to focus on, our target, were those that were indicating an intent to breastfeed. Yet of those, less than 25% were actually breastfeeding as recommended. So we really wanted to see how we can close that gap. They also reported this insufficient milk supply as their leading reason for not breastfeeding. And we also know that there were challenges with low literacy levels. In doing focus groups with case managers, we identified that there was no standardized training available to them, policies or protocols specifically around breastfeeding, no tools or references available to them so that they can communicate consistent and accurate information. They also communicated a lack of confidence to promote breastfeeding or communicate the benefits of breastfeeding. And there was a lot of confusion about what supports were actually available to nursing mothers out in the community. The framework that I used, I'm sorry, this is so tiny, but the theory was based on the interdependence model of social influence and interpersonal communication. And that really informed the goal of building case manager capacity to communicate and influence breastfeeding as recommended and using quality improvement methods of plan, do, study, act. So to give you a sense of the theory, it really looked at examining how influence and communication affects the behaviors in a dyadic relationship, here the client and her case manager, and how the relationship is influenced by certain communication functions, such as exchanging information, fostering relationships, enabling self-management behavior, and how that effective communication is associated with improved health. There are particular moderators to communication, such as social norms, the larger systems in which the two operate, the relationship characteristics, and even the social demographics between the client and their case manager. All of that will moderate communication. What we were really interested in looking at was the modifiable moderators. So the case manager's knowledge about breastfeeding, the client's knowledge, the case manager's confidence level to promote breastfeeding, and the referral process within the larger system. So understanding these factors helps us to better understand how we can develop an intervention that would help us build the trust and understanding a client needs so that she can make an informed decision around her infant feeding goals, the intermediate outcomes, how we can improve access to lactation support and establish social supports, and ultimate health-related outcomes such as initiating sustaining breastfeeding, as well as improved health and well-being for the mother and her child. So specifically, we're looking at improving exchange of breastfeeding information, fostering formal and informal relationships, and enabling clients to manage their breastfeeding. And using quality improvement, our aim was to improve perinatal case management services by building case manager capacity to promote breastfeeding and support nursing clients. And QI, just as a general background, the purpose of it is to increase the chance that change will result in sustained improvement, and it uses change concepts as a general approach to make a change for improvement. There are 9 quality improvement change concepts, general quality change concepts. We focused on 3, changing in the work environment, enhancing client relationships, and managing variation. So this first one is actually the one that I'm going to focus on here today, training the perinatal case managers on recommended infant feeding practices and basic counseling skills. That's one of the activities that we wanted to look at in changing the work environment. In addition to that, we also implemented appropriate measures to evaluate the process and develop cooperative relationships. Looking at enhancing client relations, we really wanted to work on improving the case manager's capacity to effectively listen, enable the case manager to support the client to self-advocate for her breastfeeding goals, and support a client to meet her individual breastfeeding goals. managing variation. We wanted to standardize the infant feeding training that was available to perinatal case managers and develop a toolkit so that case managers can communicate consistent messages with her clients. And I'm going to be focusing today on the training piece. So generally, just to give you a background on quality improvement methodology, plan, do, study, act cycles, or PDSA cycles, are small changes that contribute to a larger goal. They're rapidly executed. The phases include plan, which is to prepare for the implementation of the change concept, do, which is to actually implement it, study, as you analyze your data, and act is actually to generate new learning, which will inform the improvement. Learning collaborative is another component of quality improvement. It's a systematic way to test new knowledge, and you use a structured process by bringing together a diversity of providers. And the aim is to close that gap between research and practice. And the purpose is really to serve as the working body to operationalize the quality improvement activity. So in Boston, we actually developed the BHSI Infant Feeding Learning Collaborative. It's a mouthful. The purpose was to serve as this working body to move these quality improvement activities. So our, as you can see here, the members consist of administrators, case managers, and the fact that we engaged them from the beginning really made a difference in a sense of ownership and moving things through quite rapidly. We had community stakeholders involved as well as other representatives from perinatal initiatives. So for quality improvement, there are three fundamental questions. What are we trying to accomplish? What changes will we make that will result in an improvement? And how will we know that a change is an improvement? So what were we trying to accomplish? We wanted to enhance a case manager's capacity to communicate and influence clients intending to breastfeed. And we wanted to improve a case manager's breastfeeding knowledge, her skills, and her self-efficacy. So we had two objectives that the perinatal case managers have: current and accurate infant feeding knowledge and confidence. And the second was to standardize health information and support. And we did that using a toolkit. So I'm going to be focusing on this first objective. The three activities that we did was an infant feeding training. We wanted to test infant feeding knowledge using a self-assessment tool. And we wanted to develop and test a self-efficacy scale for case managers to promote breastfeeding and support nursing mothers. So this, just to give you an overview for the first activity, to standardize infant feeding training, we did two PDSA cycles. So going through the PDSA, I'm going to spare you all the details, but basically we came together as a group to determine what infant feeding content we wanted to include in the training. We worked closely with our local, the DPH from Massachusetts and their WIC office to help inform the training content so that there was alignment with the messages that they were sending. We drafted a curriculum and integrated that all and then executed the training. And this just gives you an overview of the three-day didactic that includes everything from knowledge to counseling, continued feeding, some toolkit material that they can actually use. The second activity was to develop and test an infant feeding knowledge and self-assessment tool. And that knowledge self-assessment tool, the purpose of it was really to measure whether knowledge was changed and if there was retention. There were 30 items included in the tool, and you can see the topics listed here. Our final was to develop a self-efficacy scale. We used the BSESF, if you guys are all familiar with that. And how we changed it is we added to the stem, I think I can support my client too, and here are the questions. And I'm going to speed through the results just so you guys can see that. So what we wanted to know is if change was an improvement. We wanted to see if we improved case manager's infant feeding knowledge and their case manager's self-efficacy to promote breastfeeding. So from our pre-test to our post-test, you can see that there was an improvement. And then our post-test are administered 3 months later, they still retained their knowledge. And around case manager self-efficacy to promote, you can see that their self-efficacy continued to improve over time. I don't have time to go through all of this, but I did want to briefly share with you that the toolkit that we established really helped to look at some outcomes that are much more exciting. So that 100% of, let me just get to it. the 100% of the clients that were actually enrolled into our study and participated using the toolkit breastfed as they intended. And that when we looked at 1 week and 2 week, at the 1 week mark, 100% were still breastfeeding, and at 2 weeks, 92% were breastfeeding. And skin to skin, of those that indicated they wanted to breastfeed, skin to skin, 100% were. And we also measured the mother's self-efficacy to breastfeed, and we saw an improvement in that as well. I guess I can leave it there.
All right, thank you. One quick question.
As far as how case managers would approach women, their clients that were working versus non-working. So what we did with the infant feeding toolkit that we designed was really geared towards helping those women initiate breastfeeding and up to 2 weeks postpartum. So the majority of them really were not in that going back to work phase. However, we did work with case managers around how to work with a mother who had intentions to go back to work. So really encouraging them to think about, let's initiate it, and then when we get to that point, we will create a plan so that you can continue to breastfeeding or connect you to the resources that they needed. So that there was encouragement at that point.
Thank you.